anti-corruption police appear to have gone to war with journalists as the row over the telephone hacking scandal escalates. So, no more brown envelopes for bent coppers. But are the UK police still plagued by corruption? Tune into The Agenda to find out what happens when the lawmakers become the lawbreakers. British police are coming under scrutiny for corruption like never before, and much of it focuses on the relationship between the media and individual officers. An official report into corruption has already ruled that tighter controls are needed, especially when it comes to accepting free gifts. The review, which was ordered by the Home Secretary last July in the wake of the phone hacking scandal, failed to give the UK's forces a clean bill of health after investigating relations with the media, hospitality, contracts and other business interests. The Association of Chief Police Officers said that while the review showed there was no systematic corruption, individual officers were letting their colleagues and the public down. As if to respond, police officers raided the homes of a number of high-profile journalists from the Sun tabloid newspaper, owned by Rupert Murdoch at the weekend. Critics describe police tactics as heavy-handed, and some journalists accused the anti-corruption police of indulging in a witch hunt on Murdoch journalists. They also said that they feared for press freedoms in the UK as a result. Today's Agenda asks the question, Britain, is corruption now institutionalised within the police? Well, the cosy relationship between some sections of the British police and the media seem to have come to an end. But who will benefit, and will police corruption become a thing of the past? Some cynics say not, but what does our panel believe? First up is race and equality campaigner Lee Jasper, who is not impressed with some aspects of police methods and tactics. Joining him is David Michaels, a retired police officer who is now on the other side of the thin blue line, giving analysis and advice about police work. Last but not least is Robert Ouls from the right-wing think tank The Bruges Group. He thinks talk of institutional corruption within the ranks of the British police is grossly exaggerated. But Lee, I want to start with you first. Just how damaging are these revelations with regards to special relationships between journalists and the police?
I think they're enormously damaging to the credibility of the police. I think that very much as victims of crime, you know, have a great deal of trust and confidence in the police that their information is going to be handled sensitively and appropriately. And as we've seen with cases recently, particularly that of Millie Dowler and others, you know, those who are high-profile victims have had their details leaked to the media by police officers in what appears to be an exchange of information for cash. But I think that the association between the press and the police is one that is as old as the police itself. Certainly I think that there's been too cosy and comfortable relationship with former police officers like Andy Heyman, former head of counter-terrorism in the Met, then going on to work for News International. He's not the only example one could cite. There is a long list of officers who found themselves as police officers on retirement being employed by the press. And there are stories ancient and old and widespread of the drinking culture that pertains to police officers and senior figures in the media, particularly the printed press. So it's enormously damaging. It's part of an ongoing culture of corruption that is institutionalised in relation to policing. That has exemplified itself and is now being exploded all over our TV screens through the Leveson inquiry.
Well, let me bring in David Michaels. I mean, how damaging do you think it is? Because at the end of the day, police often need journalists for help in getting information about crimes.
Yes, there is always a proper and reasonable relationship between police and the media. Police need to communicate with the public through the media and make appeals, which is quite proper and reasonable. And the police corruption, police integrity, police malpractice has always been an issue, but it's contextualising it from the going back to the days of the police and pornographers in the West End in the 1970s, and then more recently when the former commissioner, now Lord Condon, said he had a certain number of corrupt officers in the force, and Sir Robert Mark before him setting up the anti-police investigative bodies, a unit that I worked on myself, Complaints Investigation Bureau, and then Her Majesty Inspector of Constabulary looking at the issue in 1999 and more recently since the phone hacking.
But have lines been crossed?
Obviously, there is an unhealthy and potentially they are under investigation. Criminal behaviour have been happening, and it's really important. I think it's really important to contextualise from what members of the public say their view of corruption is, how fair they're treated, to police officers recycling and selling drugs and really high level corruption. I think every aspect of corruption is disturbing, but I think we need to contextualise that the police officers who arrest corrupt police officers, and that the critical mass of police officers are honest, hardworking and decent people going about. So it's important that it is a thing of undermining public trust and confidence.
Well, I know that Lee wants to...
I just want to make the point about Mark Duggan. You know, the death of Mark Duggan is an example for me of how deep this corruption goes. Here we have a young man who's shot on the streets of Tottenham, and within minutes there is a story circulating by leaders in the Sun and the Mail, two lead reporters who are known to have very strong associations with the Met, and they are first in articulating the fact that the police version of events, as given to them, was that Mark Duggan had a gun and he'd shot at a police officer whose life had been saved as the bullet had lodged in his police radio. That was patently untrue. The source only came from the police. And it's an aspect that the Levinson inquiry, for all the good work it's doing, is not examining the extent to which that sort of what I call completely abhorrent activity.
Well, let me bring in Robert Ouls, because I know that you think that talk of institutionalised corruption within the police force is exaggerated.
Absolutely, yes. Of course, there will be cases where individual police officers, and we are talking individuals, will cross lines and take actions which are inappropriate.
There seems to be an awful lot, Robert, that are crossing lines, and more are coming out of the woodwork each day with the Leveson inquiry.
But to say that it's institutionalised corruption is just taking things far too far. And of course, we see from the reaction of the police towards these accusations of too close a cosy relationship with journalists and cash for information, that their arrests are being made, and the police are now belatedly beginning to take this seriously. That shows that there is not institutional corruption in the police, and they've just been rather lackadaisical on dealing with these issues.
Well,
but now
you're
they're getting
saying
the
that they're
it.
Taking it seriously now, but and you're saying they've been forced to take it seriously. There are those in journalist circles who think that they're getting their own back on the way that this whole journalist scandal has exposed the corruption in the
some
police.
Some people feel the police are going too far.
Well, Mohammed Walji turns the spotlight on the police raids of the Sun journalists and what it all means for press freedoms.
Ready. Heavy-handed dawn police raids on Murdoch journalists sent shockwaves and outrage through some sections of the British media this week. Many of the journalists rounded up by officers in recent weeks and months stand accused of making illegal payments to police and other public officials as the investigation into the telephone hacking scandal deepens. But the events of a few days ago prompted The Sun's Trevor Kavanagh to say that the latest police investigation is getting seriously out of hand. Some of the most senior and respected journalists at The Sun had their homes raided at dawn by officers from the Metropolitan Police, a force whose name was once synonymous with corrupt behaviour. During the raids, journalists were held as police ripped up floorboards and rifled through personal possessions. The exercise, say critics, was designed to humiliate the journalists, since most dawn raids are executed on hardened criminals who might otherwise abscond or deliberately hide firearms and drugs. A simple phone call to each of the journalists to arrange interviews would have sufficed, they said. Kavanagh, a senior Murdoch newspaper executive and once regarded as the most influential and powerful media person in British politics, wrote in Monday's edition of The Sun that some of his senior colleagues were treated like members of an organised crime gang. Now other journalists must be wondering if they too will be targeted in more dawn raids as the hunt for corrupt police in the pay of the media widens.
David Michaels, you were shaking your head there in Mohammed Walji's report, and but the reality is, let's face it, in this time of austerity, sending teams of police to go and raid journalists' home when a telephone call inviting them to the station surely would have sufficed.
Yeah, if bribing a public official is a very serious criminal offence and it undermines the fabric of our society, and it's really important that the police show that every suspected criminal is treated the same way. And
I'm glad you said suspected, because nobody has been charged.
Absolutely, presumption of innocence. But if there is sufficient evidence to put someone forward, or if there's intelligence that the police can reasonably act on, then it is their duty to conduct the investigation, the arrest, the searches in a professional and exhaustive way, so that they cannot be found to be going softly with journalists and then undermine any possible future criminal proceedings.
Let me ask Robert Ould's dawn raids, teams of police officers up to 10, charging into journalists' homes. I have to declare an interest here. I am a journalist, I'm horrified by it.
Well, it shows that the cosy relationship between some journalists and the police is at an end, and certainly at the top levels of the Metropolitan Police. But there could be the possibility that evidence could be hidden, that files could disappear if they knew that the journalists were under investigation. They could have destroyed evidence. That could have been a possibility or potential evidence. So really, they were acting at the demand of the public that want action to be taken, that are unhappy with the relationship that's developed between some journalists, and I mean some journalists, and the police. But of course, as David was saying, there is this relationship between the police and journalists which does need to exist to defeat crime, to keep law and order. There does need to be a situation where there is some relationship between journalists and the police.
Well, I noticed that Lee Jasper, you were shaking your head as well, and Trevor Kavanagh, one of the most influential journalists in Britain today, said his colleagues were treated like an organised criminal gang.
Well, I think two things. One would be to Trevor Kavanagh and the Sun journalists, you know, welcome to the world of the Afro-Caribbean and Muslim communities of London, because that's exactly how we get policed on a routine basis in relation to, you know, charges that don't warrant the kind of policing, a disproportionate policing that we saw on that occasion.
So was there a degree of schadenfreude when you saw these
delicious pictures? Delicious schadenfreude for me, and I enjoyed it immensely. And it's a serious point, because we've got examples of time and time again of young black boys and men and young Muslim men and women who are subject to that kind of disproportionate arrest on the flimsy of evidence. And the other thing to say is, of course, that the evidence that the police were acting on was provided by News International itself. Now that News International has finally got around to providing and cooperating with the police instead of trying to actively cover up the extent of illegal activities, they provided the police with detailed information, and that gave rise to the police actions that we saw. I have a great deal of sympathy for some journalists, but the journalists of The Sun, whose reputation I think broadly is not one which I would want to applaud, feeling I think the backlash, if you like, and the karma of their own seeds of their own destruction. They've been engaged in an incestuous relationship with the police, and now that has come to the public light, they are now feeling the
It could be the case that the Sun journalists and News International employees are being singled out. We know from the Leveson inquiry that this could well have happened at other newspapers where there was phone hacking, possibly from other newspapers. And of course,
well, they're being singled out because the evidence points in that direction. The lead of the Metropolitan Police inquiry said, after severe criticism of their failure, really, to reveal the extent of phone hacking, we will go where the evidence leads us. But and the evidence that has been provided by News International has led straight to the Sun's.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of broadcasters and other medias are saying, are the police going too far? Are they singling up? Well, no. If any section of the press or media either tries to obstruct the police investigation, undermine it, assist offenders, then they are putting themselves in the line to be subject to arrest and possibly charges and prosecution. So I think it's quite proper and right that News International and anybody else that has intelligence information about possible offences should give it to the police, and the police should respond in a robust and effective way in investigating those allegations of criminal wrongdoing.
And do you think it's acceptable, Lee Jasper, for employers to grass up and shop their employees, especially, and again I have to declare an interest, I have worked for News International, journalists are put under huge pressure to perform.
Well, no, I don't. I think that passing the book in that way, you know, from the senior executive level of the Maxwells, sorry, the Maxwells, where am I going?
Murdoch.
I mean, the Murdochs. The difficulty in all of this exactly is that the Sun newspaper is hardly a victim in this, and the Murdoch empire continues to make many millions. But
the senior leadership of the Murdoch empire has to be held personally accountable for the actions of the journalists.
So you want to see I believe that
there was a culture that existed in News International that had forced journalists to compete in the
Let's expand on this afterwards.
Well, I don't accept that argument. You can't force people to break the law.
Well, we'll examine that as well, David. But as usual, our Facebook followers had plenty to say. But where did their sympathies lie? With the police or with the journalists? Mohammed Walji picks out the best responses in our electronic post room.
Thanks, Yvonne. Well, today's topic saw scores of Facebook followers clicking the like icon, but when it came to commenting, quite a few of you were tongue-tied, and the reason soon became clear. It seems there's little sympathy out there for journalists and even less for the police. So in terms of popularity, it appears both professions are treated with mistrust and suspicion. Despite that, Abul Kalam from London waded into the argument, exhibiting a degree of schadenfreude for the dilemma in which the Fourth Estate finds itself. He wrote, "What goes around comes around. The Sun newspaper hounded people, especially Muslims, with their sensational headlines. So I have no sympathy for scum like these." And Minhaj Ahmed from Chicago reserved his comments for Trevor Kavanagh of The Sun, who revealed, "I never liked that old man Kavanagh. He was one of the biggest drum beaters for the invasion of Iraq. Just like his master Murdoch, he only supported a party he knew was going to win. He was also one of the staunchest defenders of Israel's Gaza offensive and the war in Lebanon. Actually, I hope the whole of Murdoch's empire crumbles." Another American, Nicholas Rell from North Carolina, says, "It looks to me that the elites, Illuminati, are getting a beating this year. It's about time. Crack down on corruption. Something's up when the world is hearing about this on the mainstream. Now, if they will just start really covering the Palestinian side of the story, I'll be impressed." And in Bristol, UK, Sami Velioglu stormed, "To hell with the Sun, its directors, publishers, journalists and readers, together with the Daily Mail. All racist idiots. To hell with them all." Meanwhile, Maria Parvez is angry at the way her local police handled the latest EDL demonstration in her city. She said, "When the EDL came to Leicester, they bent over backwards to accommodate them, allowing them to demonstrate before the clock tower symbol in Leicester, whilst a counter demonstration was veered away from it." But Arab Lad from London reserved a backhanded compliment for the upholders of the law when he said, "I don't think police are as corrupt as journalists themselves." Well, on that note, that's all we've got time for. Back to you, Yvonne.
Well, thanks very much for that, Mohammed. Well, in the last few minutes, let's get our guests' concluding remarks. If I can start with you first, Robert. I mean, the whole question is, you know, corruption within the police. Is it institutionalised now?
I do not believe it is institutionalised. Of course, there will be some people within the police that will be corrupt. The police are a microcosm of society itself, and there will be some elements which will be beyond the pale. But generally, I do believe that we can have trust in our police, and that the actions taken by the police to deal with the problem that they've had with their too cosy relationship with News International is being weeded out, and really they are going some way to legitimising themselves again.
And David Michaels, you know, what do you believe in, and how does this all play out with press freedoms?
I think it is more of a concern than just talking about the odd bad apple. And Her Majesty's Inspector of Constabulary investigation, without fair or favour, identified that most police services at the moment do not have enough systems, structures, processes and procedures basically to be intrusive about the level and extent of corruption within the services themselves. Having said that, I do believe we should remain, have a deep concern about corruption at any level, whether it's unfairness, racism, the misuse of stop and search, or police officers fabricating evidence to put the wrong people in prison, recycling drugs from criminals or colluding with criminals to permeate the market with drugs, whatever levels. But the point remains is that police officers arrest bad police officers and bring them to court and prosecute them. And I do believe that the critical mass of police officers are honest and do a hard working job, but we should not be complacent about the existence of and level of corruption.
And Lee Jasper?
Well, corruption in the police force is endemic and institutional. I think if you accept the premise that the police force was deemed to be institutionally racist, as the McPherson inquiry found, if you accept the Majesty's Inspectorate Constabulary findings about the...
Well, some people have criticised those findings and think they undermine the ability of the police.
They're wrong about that.
But they were accepted by government and they're accepted by the majority of society.
So are they recruiting the wrong sort of people, or are the wrong sort of people being attracted to the police?
I think the problem is that people join the police with good intentions. I think there's enormous pressure on police to respond to policing targets in terms of press moral panics about crime, and they have to be seen to deliver. And I think in that context, what we've seen is noble cause corruption. We've seen an unhealthy relationship with the press, possibly corrupt. We've seen institutionalised racism leads. You have two young boys arrested, both for stealing a loaf of bread, one black, one white. The white one is twice as likely to receive a caution for their first time offence as a black one. I call that corruption, and it's endemic.
Well, on that note, that just remains for me to say a very big thank you to each and every one of our guests today for a fine discussion, and we'll see you all soon on the next agenda.